State taxes are having a surprising impact on a couple MLB free agents. Professor Mike McCann joins me to discuss the dilemma of Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Mike, you are the last professor that I would expect to bring up state taxes on the show. So what exactly is going on with Harper and Machado?
Sure. So Harper and Machado are free agents in baseball. They are likely to get contracts that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. They're two of the best players in the game. They're only 26 years old, so they're entering their prime years. They have a number of teams that are competing to sign them. And there's an expectation that they could land contracts that exceed $300 million, at least in the case of Harper. Apparently, his initial price that he's asking for is $350 over 10 years. So they're going to sign for more money than they'll ever need, than their descendants. So yeah, the tax issue should be separated from that. They will be rich beyond words. And also, there are all sorts of reasons that go into their decision to sign. They may want to play in a city that has warm weather. They may want to play for a certain manager. They may have family reasons for going somewhere. They may want to go closer to their hometown, culture, whatever. So those are all important reasons that factor into their decision. Taxes are also a factor. We don't know where they stand. But for someone like Harper, if he signs a $10 million, $350 million contract, the difference in what he takes home after taxes is $21 million between signing with the LA Dodgers or signing with the Washington Nationals. And the reason why I know that is because I co-wrote an article with Robert Raiola, who is Sports Tax Man on Twitter. He's really the leading sports accountant around. And he calculated a number of figures that look at the tax implications. So $21 million, that's a lot of money,
it is.
Right?
I mean, to have 5 to 8% of your millions and millions come just immediately off the bat, knowing you're not even going to see this, is going to factor in the negotiation, and it's going to hit a cap eventually, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and I think the agent will say to the Dodgers, look, if you want to sign him, you're going to have to increase your offer to offset the tax consequences. California has the highest state income tax in the land, especially for high earners. Whereas in DC, the way taxes work in DC is if you're out of state, if you're not a resident of DC, yet you work in DC, you don't get taxed. So this usually isn't as significant of an issue because people are, you know, often residents of Maryland or Virginia, but Harper probably is a resident of Nevada, which is where he's from. And a lot of ballplayers aren't residents of cities of where they play.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect. A lot of people don't take into consideration.
That's exactly right. People think, oh, you know, if you're playing for the Red Sox, you must be a Massachusetts or New Hampshire resident. You're probably not. Yeah. Maybe you're New Hampshire because we don't have a state income tax. But for Harper, assuming he's a resident in Nevada, there's no state income tax. So staying with the Nationals, which is where he presently plays, again, all sorts of reasons go into his decision, and he's going to be rich no matter what. We can play that story out, but $21 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, especially with the just general impact. I'm already living here and comfortable.
Yeah, that's another way. He's already a star locally. And you bring up that issue of, I'm comfortable, I'm already here. Some people would say, well, if you go to Los Angeles, you'll make more money in endorsements that might offset some of that $21 million. That may be true, but when you've already been with a team for a while, you build a certain local brand. He's tied to Under Armour, which is in Baltimore. So I'm not convinced that the difference in endorsement income is $21 million when you already are sort of a star.
They already have brand deals. I mean, they already exist.
And I don't, you know, I think nowadays, I don't know how important location is. Yeah. Right, everything is digital. Do you really have to be in New York or Los Angeles to be a celebrity? I think given the prevalence of social media and the impact, you could have players in any location still become familiar to a national or even international audience.
Has this always been an issue for the high-income players?
It has. It has. And as contract values have gotten higher, it becomes even more noticeable, right? When we're talking contracts worth $350 million, suddenly the tax issue is no longer a few million, it's now $21 million. So I think the impact of it has become more detectable because we're able to see tens of millions of dollars in difference in what people take home based on contracts that are otherwise identical.
Because, I mean, otherwise, this probably would have been more an issue for the team itself. And it's kind of the price, the cost of getting these high-level players is just costing more and more every year.
Yeah, if you're in a locale with a high tax, maybe you have to bid more for players. At least you would think the player and the agent would stress that, right? That, look, you got to increase it to offset the difference.
It was mentioned in the article that Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, what kind of impact is that having on this?
So the new federal income tax law cuts in both ways for players. It lowers the highest marginal rate for earners to a point where now players will get more money because they're of the highest level. So in that respect, it helps them. But the new tax law has a corresponding effect on deductions and the amount of money that you can deduct for state and local property taxes. So you can now deduct up to $10,000 in that category, whereas before you could deduct more. So if you itemize, and usually people that are making a lot of money typically itemize because they have other expenses, right? They're not taking the standard deduction. This will limit the benefit they get from the deduction. So their taxable income to the federal government will be higher. They still probably come out ahead because the lower marginal rate at the top level, but the standard deduction, especially if you're living in a state that has a high state income tax, a high local taxes, high property taxes, that limitation can be pretty consequential. So if you're living in New York or Los Angeles, it's really impactful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it all just keeps adding up. I mean, it's kind of the opposite effect of what certain presidential administrations might have touted it as.
Yeah, that it was a big tax cut. I mean, it is a big tax cut, but it's not
an across-the-board thing.
It's not an across-the-board thing, and there are catches to it, right? There are... It's not so sweeping as maybe it was marketed. And of course the government has to raise revenue. So, I mean, it's understandable, but I think the biggest beneficiaries to that new law are really corporations. I don't think individual taxpayers are getting that same kind of benefit.
Yeah. It's really interesting to see it kind of leak over into the sports and entertainment field, which is not going to be the last of that issue. Do you predict rookie players looking ahead, thinking with teams that they want to be with for the long term, might begin taking this into consideration?
You would have to think that they would. And again, it's one of many factors that go into the decision to sign, but if they're wise about it, and I think if their agent in particular, really the agent at that point has to step in. If you have a player who's 21, 19, 23 years old, whatever, they may not be thinking about state income taxes. I mean, I know I wasn't, right. I assume most people weren't at that age, but their agent should. And that's really the role, I think, of the agent, to tell the player, look, here's the lay of the land. If you stay with this franchise, you might love it. You might want to stay here forever. Great. But just know that other franchises, you may end up making a lot more money to the extent that's important to you. I mean, what's important to people varies. Right. Again, familiarity, weather, culture, family, there are all sorts of things that go into the decision. But if a player wants to maximize his or her earnings, then state income taxes would be an important factor.
Have the teams spoken up at all?
Yeah. Teams, I think, just have to accept it. Right. They can't. There's nothing they can really do about it. I guess they can lobby for
high-level lobbying.
Yeah. And at that point, I don't know if they're in that game to the extent. It is really impactful, though, for other leagues that have salary caps.
Yeah.
Right? Because at that point...
So there's no salary cap with the MLB.
No, there's a luxury tax, which has some effect on the teams with the highest payroll, but it's not as impactful as, say, the NFL or NBA salary cap, which does place real restraints on teams in terms of what they can spend. So if teams have to spend more to convince players to come in order to offset tax consequences, it could disadvantage them.
A link to Professor McCann's article on sportsillustrated.com is in the episode description. Also follow him on Twitter at McCann Sports Law. Be sure to subscribe to the UNH Law podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.